Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third and final hour here. Robbie Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt in for Robbie. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz always about great service. And Robbie and Rexroad is presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit Green Ventures Landscaping. .com. We are very happy, as always, every Thursday at 8 a.m. to welcome in our friend Charles Robinson, who has a site that you should visit and subscribe to, NFL Blue Book. Charles, how are we? Where are we? Are we home? You got a little downtime now. You've done your camp tour, gearing up for the season. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm actually I'm up in Michigan right now, just kind of taking care of some details, some family stuff I wanted to wrap up before the season started. So yeah, kind of been off the radar for a little bit here, but I've compiled a lot of stuff from the tour, and I am gearing up to drop a bunch of notebooks as we head into Wednesday's opener. So excited about it. Excited to talk about Will Levis no longer being a Titan. I guess I shouldn't say I'm excited about that, but obviously there's been some news. There's been some other things that have happened with the Titans in the last 24 hours that have been interesting. How about that?
Yeah.
How about the NBA just dropping a bomb on salary cap circumvention? Good Lord. You got to hope. I swear, if there was ever any salary cap circumvention in the NFL, you got to hope that they're not paying any attention to what's going on in the NBA right now, because man, what a whopper.
Did you see Wetzel's tweet? He laid out the entire cost of
like my God. And two first round swap.
And SGA. And SGA. Right.
And SGA. Yeah. And I mean, like, it's funny because I saw someone make the comment, but it is true. Completely wipes off Deshaun Watson off the books. Like, I mean, if you remove the off-field stuff, just straight up, that's correct, right? 10 first-round picks plus two swaps plus SGA, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, and then obviously the thirty million and the suspensions and all that stuff too.
Suspension, yeah. All the trouble that everybody's gone through. Yeah, I mean that's got to be one of the most absolutely mind-boggling, you know, just nuclear bombs dropped on any franchise in sports. I mean, I never thought we would get past, you know, how rough the Deshaun Watson trade really was. But yeah, I don't think anyone's ever going to approach this one. I mean, it's beyond historic. I couldn't even, at first when I saw the headline, I didn't think it was, I thought it was fake, especially considering, you know, ESPN had previously run the story that, you know, there wasn't any evidence that Steve Ballmer had, you know, funneled. And I know there's still some semantics you can play, you know, with that in terms of the money that went to Kawhi Leonard. But when I saw the headline, I thought that's not real. Someone's clearly trying to nail people on social media.
Yeah. Crazy stuff there. Incredible job by Pablo Torre. So you mentioned it, Charles. I do want to get into a couple things that are Titans related. So first of all, we've been talking about this, and I have no idea if there's any care out there, any reaction, but locally, it's been a big deal. Now, Jared Stillman has his credentials revoked. The question I have for you is not about him or even necessarily this situation, unless anyone out there in the league has some thought on it. I mean, he did the entire media car wash yesterday. You know, it was on Levitard and a bunch of other shows, but media credentials in general, is this, I do feel like obviously a lot of people don't get, there's so much more kind of like whatever you want to call it, new media, right? So many more podcasts out there, yeah, and film study guys. and all this stuff, and a lot of people who don't get credentials. But this is an example to me. It's an example of someone who's critical, who has been credentialed as he should have been for like a decade, and then you pull the plug. Does it say anything to you about where things are? Is in this league, as we see access, I mean, coaches want to reduce access. We see in college sports, it's disappearing. The NFL has done a good job of mandating really good access in the NFL, as you know. Like once the season starts, people get great access. But is this a thing with the NFL, or is this just an isolated incident here with, you know, a team that's frankly soft being mad at someone who's critical of them?
You know, look, I think, to be fair, there are two sides of this when you talk to people across the NFL. And actually, it's a conversation that I had myself, you know, because I parted ways with Yahoo. And, you know, when that occurred, I had already been in the midst of building a training camp tour. And so, you know, when I wasn't at Yahoo, I initially had a number of teams reached out and without me prompting, they were like, hey, you know, come through. Like, we know you, you know, we have a long-term, not a relationship, but they know me, you know, they know, you know, that I'm fair, that I'm, you know, sometimes I'm critical, sometimes I'm not, you know, they know who I am up front. And so based on reputation, I think they were like, okay, well, you know, as this unfolds, let us know kind of where you're at, with your career. But like, if you're still going to do a training camp tour, you know, you can feel free to come through. And, you know, then others, there were other teams that had questions, you know, they're like, you know, well, what are you doing now? Who are you going to be writing for? You know, kind of like, what's the future? And so I kind of had conversations with those teams. Now, nobody denied me a credential. You know, I got credentialed by, it ended up being 20 teams. And, you know, it was all 20 that I wanted to, you know, head out and see. And, but, you know, it wasn't just automatic. You know, there were certainly some conversations. And I think when I talk to, you know, some teams about it, I think it's, you know, there's two sides of the coin. You know, one half of it is, as you said, the appearance of are you eliminating someone who's critical, which every situation I think is its own animal. You know, I don't think you can really, you know, paint it with a broad brush. And I saw, you know, what had happened between Stilley and Cam Newton. And Cam Ward. I didn't think the exchange was that bad. When I watched it, I was like, I'm like, yeah. I thought Ward handled it. It was fine. Like it was a little tense, but I didn't think it was, I've seen like on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 3. I've seen some really bad ones. And that certainly wasn't anything where I thought Jared was just completely off the radar in terms of like how he approached it and Cam Ward, how he approached it. Like could have gone better maybe, but I certainly didn't think, okay, well that's certainly the impetus behind this. But I think when you talk to teams, what they reflect now is they're struggling as media has fragmented in terms of like who they credential and who they don't, because they're like, hey, we have all these veteran media personalities, people who, whether it's radio or online or newspapers, who are now starting to go off into other entities that they're not familiar with. And they're like, well, how do we handle that? And I don't want to name the team, but I'll say this. It was an NFC North team I had a very specific conversation with about this. And they were like, they're like, here's some people that are veterans that want to come to our camp, but they're off and they're working for media entities that we're not familiar with. And so we don't know, like, where do we draw the line? Like if we let these individuals in, then we really got to let in, here's this whole other basket of people as well. And so they just straight up said, we're struggling with this and we're trying to figure out how to handle this going forward. And so this is why we go through some of the conversations we do when we're credentialing. On the flip side of it, certainly I'm never in favor of anybody who's been credentialed for a long period of time not having a credential issued. I'm a journalist. I always want access. But I also... It's unfortunate, but the NFL is certainly heading toward, it's less and less access, and it's happened over the 25 years that I've watched it. I think we're heading toward no locker rooms ever being open at some point. I think that's certainly something the union would like to pursue, is that reporters are no longer in open locker rooms, which
you think they'll get that? That'll be a concession they'll get.
I do. I think the NFL has stood firm on it right now, but I think when you get into the next CBA negotiation,
an 18th
and the
game.
NFL wants certain things, the one of the easy 2-foot putts to offer up is, yeah, we can cut off, you know, open locker rooms as long as they'll be very careful about how they lay it out. Certainly there will still be access, but it'll be planned access. It'll be press conferences, but it just won't be the, you know, we're opening up the locker room and we're going to have people milling around because players don't seem to want it. And the union doesn't seem to want it. And I think it's short-sighted because certainly, particularly if you're a beat reporter, this is how you get to know people on the team who are not frontline starters, who are not people that are walked to a podium. And you develop a real sense and understanding between local writers and a team. And that's how fans actually get the most accurate information. But I also think the union knows that there's certainly a lot of negativity about the media now. There's certainly more ways for players to access fans themselves directly and not have to, you know, do it through media. And so they think it's less of something that's needed. I tend to disagree, particularly when there are problems inside of a team or there's growth happening or just to understand the finite details of really what's going on. You want people that are around on a regular basis and who have built trust with other individuals inside the franchise. You don't just want a curated sort of stance on it. So I can't say that's what's happened, you know, in particular with the Titans. You're there. There are people there every day who would understand this better. I read what PK Paul Kaharsky wrote about it. I thought it was certainly interesting and, you know, fair given that Paul's around. I guess my biggest thing when I see something like that happen is if you're the Titans, you're going, this is just not what we, this story itself, what's happened, the fact that it's even a thing, the fact that there's, as you said, the media car wash yesterday that occurs and they're all playing the clip of Cam Ward. That's just not something you want going into year two, right? Like there are other things to worry about. There's bigger fish to fry, certainly. And that I think is just the unfortunate reality of the distraction that it becomes. And you hope that once football starts, there's something else to talk about that's not this. And I hope one way or another it gets resolved because, like I said, I hate to see anybody who's had a credential for a long period of time not get credentialed. And I think there's certainly probably a conversation to be had here between, you know, Stilley and the Titans, and we'll see ultimately where it goes. But I don't think it's something you really want to be having this conversation about Cam Ward when really it's trying to put your best foot forward and you hope he plays well in week one. And the talk about what's going on with Cam and his performance moves past quickly for the Titans.
So sticking kind of with the Titans, although not with the Titans anymore, but I got to say, Charles, and I know that there's still time for this to happen, so it may happen, but I'm shocked right now that we're sitting here at this moment and Will Levis hasn't even been signed to a practice squad. I know over the years we've talked with you about Levis and, you know, different, you know, obviously he was starter here. He had a really promising start as a rookie. He had a chance to establish himself as a franchise quarterback, gets hurt. Clearly, I mean, you know, Titans wanted to move him, I think. And we, as we can see, zero market for that. But am I out of line for being shocked that no one's even like, oh, yeah, we'll take a talent like that for a practice squad? What am I missing here?
Well, you don't want to – you're not – he's going to clear waivers because you don't want to pay the salary, right? It's a little over $1.1 million. It's not a ton, obviously, but it's – that is backup money. You know, it's low-end backup money.
But it's been 2 days since then. You know what I mean?
Like, but Joe, here's the thing you have to understand is Will Levis still wants a starting shot. So when a player like Will Levis becomes available, especially when you're repped by like CAA, your goal is not just to catch on to any team at all. Like, you're sitting there saying, we have to find the best path forward. And that might not be readily available right now. We just had the 53 roster cut down. We have practice squads that are filling themselves out. A number of teams kept more quarterbacks than people believed. I mean, we've never been in an era of keeping four quarterbacks, and multiple teams kept four quarterbacks. That never happens. And so I think there is an element of planning on the side of Will Levis, where it's like, hey, you don't just want to jump in any situation and then get stuck and either be a backup or relegated to like a third string quarterback, particularly now that no one's going to have to pay necessarily the $1.1 million plus. You know, he's looking at possibly being a third string player for a team. And I think there's a lot that plays into it. Performance, some of the decision stuff. I think injuries play into it. I think age plays into it, honestly, because Will came into the league as an older player. So I think his next opportunity is certainly one that he has to be very, very careful about, because that can be the difference between being a career backup, which is not the worst thing. They kept Mitch Trubisky. That guy's been, after losing out, obviously, on the starting job with the Bears, he became a career backup. He'll probably be a career backup for another 5-6 seasons. He'll play in his late 30s and retire with plenty of money in his pocket and very happy. Will Levis, though, this is the difference between being a career backup or not being on an NFL team, because he's not going to probably be a third quarterback and last in the league very long, particularly at that age. Teams just don't keep 30-year-old third quarterbacks, and that's where he's headed to right now. So I think that has more to do with it than just a straight up, there's no appetite for Will Levis at all anywhere in the NFL. I think it's Will Levis looking at it and saying, let's make sure when I make this choice, there's a path to me at least being a backup in an organization. And let's not kid ourselves, Will Levis still wants to be a starting quarterback at some point in this league. So ultimately, you want a path to potentially being a starter, but first you want a path to being a backup. And I just don't think right now, especially with so many teams keeping the number of quarterbacks that they did, that's an extremely easy spot. Like, look at the AFC North. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers are dying for a quarterback. They kept four. Drew Aller's their fourth quarterback. And he's a draft pick, but there's a reason why they keep four quarterbacks. And under normal circumstances, that's a place that Will Levis in past years could have gone, because normally they would keep two. And Will Levis would be sitting there staring at it and going, okay, well, Aaron Rodgers is your starter. Mason Rudolph's your backup. There's a path to a starting job there. There's definitely a path to a backup job, maybe in 2027. That's where I would go. You can't go there. There's four guys, two veterans, two younger players. There's no path at all to even being potentially the third quarterback in that organization. So I think that has something to do with it. It stinks for Will that this is how this has turned out, but we've talked on this show. I told you before, you asked me in past shows, I think last season, you asked me is there an appetite out there to trade for Will Levis? And I told you, I didn't think so. And that was last year. So it's, yeah, I just think this is the cross section of injuries. And I will say one thing for the Titans. If you're Will Levis, you're probably happier being released than being the third quarterback on the Tennessee Titans. That's just reality, because you have an opportunity to try and find a job.
Talking to Charles Robinson, and Charles, we know this here locally, and I'm curious of your opinion, but I'm curious of the opinion on the national perspective of Carnell Tate. I know being out there, for myself, just about every day watching him, he makes some great plays in practice, and he looks the part of being a potential NFL wide receiver one. But I'm sure, obviously, the preseason games that were actually televised to some national media may dilute some concern, give you some things to worry about, being as he had no catches. So what is the national perspective of Carnell Tate heading into the regular season?
I don't think people get – I don't know that people really get all that wrapped up in the statistics of preseason games. I frankly think they want So I'll give you an example of this. After going through the Titans, typically what happens when you go into other camps and you talk to head coaches or general managers, they'll always ask you, like, where have you been? And then they'll ask about, oh, how has so-and-so looked? And I went through an NFC team that liked actually an AFC team too, that liked Carnell Tate a lot. They both organizations, individuals in the organizations both asked when I said I went through the Titans, they said, oh, you know, how's they want to know how Borgonzi was doing. And then, you know, how's Tate look? And I told them when I went through, Tate looked fantastic in practice. And they asked how a player's practicing, right? Like, what's the vibe in the organization? And, you know, both of those teams are like, yeah, we love Tate a lot. We think he's going to be a dog, really good player. And so I wouldn't, you know, I think inside organizations, they all have their assessment of Carnell Tate. He was held in high esteem. I think knowing that he practiced well, I think matters to them. But I think it won't be until the regular season that anyone really has, you know, formed any opinions. And a lot of teams, other than their advanced scouts, they don't spend a ton of time looking at other organizations. They're worrying about their own stuff. I think for Tate, and this is functionally just sort of where Titans fans have to come at this whole situation, it's going to be, how does Ward progress? How does Brian Daboll shape that offense, and what is his fit ultimately within it? If you can't get Cam Ward to where he needs to be, the wide receivers are going to be a function of that at some point. They're going to struggle. And so this is sort of a ground up type of thing. And I think teams know that with Ward, and they know that, you know, Tate's success or failure is going to be tied into his ability to grow with Cam Ward. And we'll see where that goes. I will say this one thing, going back to what happened with, you know, Jarrett Stillman and Ward in that press conference. Ward did mention, and I think this is notable, that they condensed the offense as they got closer to the season because they're trying not to show anything. And here's the thing, you're condensing something that you're already starting out with being limited. You don't show anything in the preseason when you get in exhibition games. You show a little bit, obviously, in joint practices. But you don't show things in exhibition games really at all. And then when you condense that, you're not offering anything. So fans don't want to hear this, but I always say this, let's get through like September to mid-October, and then you'll start to really understand where this could be ultimately headed. You won't fully know probably until November, but let's at least get into some real football before you start, you know, hitting the panic button.
Charles Robinson, NFL Blue Book. One last quick thing for you, Charles. I've seen some speculation about, you know, where, like, Lamar Jackson, could he end up, you know, oh my goodness, yeah, could he end up saving the Jets or whatever and reuniting with this guy, that guy? But DaCosta, you know, talks about optimistic. How do you see that situation? You know, is Lamar a Raven for life, or is there actually a possibility that we see him with a reboot somewhere else?
Joe, I don't think the AFC North is, look at the quarterback situation in the AFC North. Like, the Cleveland Browns, we expect, will probably have a new quarterback in 2027. That's just the expectation. The Pittsburgh Steelers will probably have a new quarterback in 2027. That's just the expectation. Maybe there's somebody on that depth chart. There should be. There's four quarterbacks there. But it's hard to believe that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers in 2027. The Bengals, now Joe Burrow is saying some good things now, but he also has made it clear repeatedly that he kind of feels like, hey, we're like, it's put up or shut up time. And if this doesn't happen, Burrow certainly, I think, has sent overt signals that if it's not getting done here, I don't want this to be how this goes with my career. So there's, I've told you this before, I think that Burrow is a name coming in the next offseason that people will talk about, potentially being one of those crazy possible quarterback deals. And then I think Lamar Jackson, the Ravens know, and DaCosta knows, they don't want to carry an $84 million plus cap charge in 2027. So something has to happen. Now, I think, naturally, particularly, let's say if the Ravens struggle in 2026, you have a 6-11 season. Let's say Lamar's banged up. Let's say it's something similar to what has happened in the dip years for the Ravens. I absolutely think teams are going to go hunting for Lamar Jackson. There's no question about that. When I went through the Browns and I talked to Todd Monken, like one of the things that Todd Monken said is like, I would love, when we were talking about his quarterback situation, is like, I'd love to have a Lamar Jackson. Everyone would love to have a Lamar Jackson. And Monken's like, there's three or four of those guys in the entire league. If Todd Monken went through the Ravens and believes that, and everybody's seen Lamar Jackson, we know what he is, that means that you're going to get calls on him. So I think the whole entire AFC North quarterback spot is, those teams aren't all going 11-6, right? There's going to be some, we believe it's going to be the Browns, but I think between the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens, of those three teams, I guarantee you there's going to be a flop in that trio. And people presume it's Pittsburgh. Well, if it's not Pittsburgh, and it is the Bengals or the Ravens, I there's no question in my mind that there will be teams across the NFL, particularly with how cap gymnastics work now, and teams being able to take cap charges when they deal players. There's no question that they will get calls on both Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow if one of those teams really truly struggles. And I don't even necessarily know a team needs to struggle. I think if the Ravens, even if they made the playoffs and they were one and out, you're sitting there staring at this problem and going, we feel stuck. So if the phone rings, let's at least listen and find out what interest there would be in Lamar Jackson. But the last time we were here, and Joe, we talked about this on the show, we probably could have had Lamar Jackson for 2 first-round picks, and that didn't happen. So maybe it's different this time around, but I just don't think the AFC North, when I look at that quarterback situation, the AFC North, it's very possible that three of the four starters in the AFC North in 2026 aren't there in 2027. That is a possibility.
Wild stuff. Should be fascinating. In the meantime, next time we talk to you, Charles, we will have an NFL football game to talk about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. And when we come back, we will react to Charles on Robbie Rex Show, 102.5 The Game. Petsa Metro High School football game of the week every Friday at 7, 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial National and Patrick Conger. Tomorrow night's game will feature Stratford against Lawson. Before and after the game, Big Joe and Connor Newt will have complete high school football coverage with the Game Blitz, powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union. Also this Saturday, Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders will host Murray State at Floyd Stadium at 6. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Oh, and this week's College Football Game of the Week, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, is the Liberty Mutual Music City Kickoff. Ole Miss taking on Louisville at Nissan Stadium Sunday at 6:30 on 102.5 The Game. Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. And I will be at that one. I'm excited for it. You'll be there too. Nice. Yeah. I'm excited for it. That one is has a potential actually to be maybe as good as any game in week one. Louisville, do not take them lightly with Jeff Brohm, with a new quarterback who's got some real skill. So that should be exciting. We're gonna talk college football and break down this week one in the last segment. But Connor, reacting to Charles here. One point he made about Levis, which I think is a good one, is could this be Levis being selective? Could Levis be on a practice squad right now, but doesn't like that particular opportunity? I mean, I hope that's it. I hope that's the case. Like Charles said, at some point, as you get into your late 20s, and Levis was older coming out, it's like that's not generally what people want for their, you know, their third QB running the scout team. Like, get a young player, hopefully, who's developmental and maybe, you know, have something on a good trajectory there. And who knows, maybe you have something someday. But I continue to say, until he is on a practice squad, I'm going to be very surprised to not see that, because I think he's certainly good enough to be in this league. It's just hard for me to believe that he would have his NFL career ended right now. But the idea that maybe he's being selective, is holding out for this spot or that spot, that would add up more in terms of the timing right now.
Well, I think that's a great point that Charles made, because Now that he's a free agent, he has his pick of the litter. He can go anywhere that he desires to go as long as that team offers him a contract. So I think that is a good point that maybe he is waiting for the right fit, because obviously here it wasn't the right fit. I don't know that going to another struggling franchise would be the right fit. I think even if it is on the practice squad, being on a contender would probably benefit him the most, being with an offensive coach that's known to help develop quarterbacks like a Shanahan, like a Kevin O'Connell, like guys like that, with the Rams, guys like that. I don't know. Those are just examples, obviously, but he needs to find a place where his talents are going to be produced, and he's not going to start. He's probably not going to be a quarterback number two, at least this year. But if he could find a place that is willing to take him and is willing to help him build off of some of the physical traits that he has, then I think he can start to get off onto the path to be a better NFL quarterback. I certainly think, like you, that he is talented enough to play in this league. But like we talked about, it's the mental and the physical are just not adding up for whatever reason that is. And he needs to go off and do a little bit of soul searching with the right coach to figure out how he can best apply that to his game. And I think once he does that, we can start to see some improvement, and maybe he'll end up being a decent quarterback in this league. But we're a long way away from that as of right now.
Yeah, really, a guy he needs to model his career after, probably, if we're being realistic, is Mitch Trubisky, actually, the guy he's been in the quarterback room with. Mitch Trubisky, well documented, you know, picked ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes back in the 2017 draft. Didn't work out. He had some, I mean, look, Mitch Trubisky had good moments, won games with the Bears, certainly did more as a starter than Levis, but still trying to be a starter, kind of got an opportunity in Pittsburgh. And at some point, it's almost like you even adjust your game a little bit if you're Mitch Trubisky to where, okay, you're a QB too. You got to be the veteran. You could have this job for a long time, and it's a pretty darn good work if you can get it. You got to be a safe, reliable, veteran game manager. Not to, you know, make that a negative term.
Yeah,
but
it's not.
Yeah, but you got to be that, and then you can be you can age into this league, and you can be a QB2 in this league for a long time. That's probably best case scenario for Will Levis. Of course, he wants a chance to start again. He'd like to have the opportunity. Trubisky was looking at Pittsburgh. Mac Jones is another guy right now, hoping he gets, you know, another shot. So of course, if you get to a QB2 situation, then in this league with so many injuries, that might end up meaning a decent stretch of you starting. I mean, Joshua Dobbs has had stretches here and there, including with the Titans, where it's like, okay, our guy's hurt, we need you, and he's actually performed well. I mean, he had a heck of a run for a minute there with the Vikings a couple years ago. So that's, you know, if you get to the QB2 spot, you can pivot, you can get opportunities, but that's what he's got to get to. And the QB2 spot, there's got to be a certain level of reliability and safeness, you know, that I just isn't there right now, that it isn't on display. So you start building that on somebody's practice squad, which I think will happen, but I don't know. As the clock ticks, it becomes more and more perplexing to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the Kentucky fan in me obviously wants him to succeed, but even as just a person, I want him to succeed. Like you said earlier in the show, Joe, I don't think there was any moment that I looked at Will Levis and I thought, he's a detriment to this team personally. Like, he's a winner, or he wants to be at least. He is a pro mindset. He wants to be better. He wants to be the best he can. And, you know, I think some of that translates to his game, and not in the good way. But he's talented enough to make it in this league. It's just a matter of how does he put that together, and does he find the right team that's able to bring that out of him? I don't know. We'll have to see. As of right now, I am still kind of shocked that he's not at least on someone's practice squad because of the traits we've described. Like I told you, does not work, could be fun to fix. I think that's the definition of Will Levis.
We come back. We one final segment. We'll talk college football really quickly, though. A listener has told us the Titans have reached out and are looking into the Calvin Ward, Cam Ward's dad, social media stuff. So we'll see if that develops into anything. I would just advise him, and really I would advise all parents of any prominent college or pro athlete to stay the hell off social media, and certainly do not DM people who are criticizing your athlete. That's a good rule for everyone to follow. We'll talk college football when we finish it up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt football host Austin Peay to open the season this Saturday at First Bank Stadium at Vanderbilt. Pre-game begins at 4:30 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Kickoff at 6. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Poncy Law. Injured in an accident? Call Poncy Law 615-244-4321. Poncy Law, justice for all. Welcome to the final segment, Robbie Rex Show. Connor Newt, yeoman's work today in place of Robbie. He found the golden spot near the router, and it's been smooth sailing ever since. And we're going to get into college, the slate here, but I want to read this tweet. This is from KC Sports Network. This is a quote from Andy Reid. Okay. Titans fans, I want you to listen closely. Andy Reid talking about L'Jarius Sneed. Quote, arguably one of the best corners in the league when he left here. And now that he's back healthy and going, I mean, I'll tell you, he's playing like that right now. End quote. So, hey, let's throw that little log on the fire of absolute Titans misery. How about L'Jarius Sneed coming back and having just a monster year after being a complete waste of space in Nashville? What an amazing development that would be for Titans fans. Good Lord.
It would be kind of hilarious, to be honest with you. If he just has like an all-pro corner year, wins like defensive player of the year or something like that.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. But
why not?
Why not? I mean, it would fit the quota of just anything that the Titans touch quite literally turns to crap. So why not? Let's just keep it going.
Oh, boy. All right. So college football week one. It's not a good week one. I mean, it's kind of bad. And I'm a little concerned, but it's freaking college football. I mean, tonight there's a lot of games. The big one is definitely Colorado, Georgia Tech. For anybody of a certain age, you remember when they split the national championship the 1990 season. But that one's on ESPN at 7 tonight. I'm into that one. Friday, nothing great. You got Miami at Stanford. You do have Toledo at Michigan State. Now, I don't know about the game. I can tell you that the tailgate will be popping. The annual Benny Wong Memorial tailgate that I'm helping organize. Benny Wong, well, the big flag of his big face up there. His dying wish was that we get together once a year to celebrate and get together, so we will do that. The game itself, I don't know. Toledo actually might have a chance to beat the Spartans.
Toledo's pretty good.
Toledo's not bad. Toledo's not bad at all. Saturday, you're slim pickings for a lot of the day. I mean, there's some teams you want to see. I do want to see Boise State, Oregon, 2:30 on CBS. I mean, I think that has a chance to at least be watchable. It is hard to find a game in the early slot. I guess big noon on Fox is North Texas, Indiana. Sure. I watch the Hoosiers and see how Josh Hoover looks, So again, you have some of these teams that you're okay watching. Boise State, Oregon. Okay. There's your, and then of course, at that same time slot, you have the Vols against Furman. Now, also same time slot, Baylor Auburn. I'm somewhat interested in that game. That's in Atlanta. And that one has a chance to be interesting for sure. You go down the list, and again, there's a lot of, it's just, we need to do better with scheduling in college football. I'm a little bit concerned. Austin Peay Vanderbilt's at 6. That's on SEC Plus. Of course, as I said, we got it on 102.5 The Game for you with 4:30 pregame. And then you get to, the main event, of course, is Clemson LSU, 6:30 on ABC. Fascinating. There's a bunch of stuff to find out today. But who does LSU have? What does it mean? Are they getting kicked out of, sports? Are they closing the university? I mean, all these questions. There's another later. Sneaky, interesting game. Okay. Nico Iamaleava, who did have a nice finish and now has a new coach, Bob Chesney, and now has an AD who was fired too, which is interesting at UCLA this week, Martin Jarman. They're at Cal. So one of those. Now, of course, no longer are they Pac-12 mates. They are now in different leagues. The Big Ten and the Atlantic Coast Conference, because of course Cal's in the Atlantic Coast Conference. But I'm interested in that game. That game absolutely interests me. And then we get to, you know, really, I think Sunday and Monday, Connor, we have some of the best. I mean, like I said, Louisville Ole Miss here in Nashville. I'm excited for it. That might be the game of the week, unless Clemson can put up more of a fight than I think. Wisconsin and Notre Dame, that might get ugly for the Badgers. We got the Apple Cup, Washington State, Washington. That's at 3 on Sunday. So we have a triple header. But Monday is also a game that I'm excited about. SMU going to Florida State. SMU is my pick to be the surprise winner of the ACC this year. Florida State, Ashton Daniels, didn't look great first game. This could be ugly for Mike Norvell quickly if they don't get a lot better in a short period of time.
Yeah, that one's interesting. I actually have SMU in my ACC championship game with Miami. So I'm with you on that train. I think that's a veteran team. I think Kevin Jennings at quarterback has improved from his time as, you know, getting thrown in there a couple of years ago. They made it to the college football playoff and then last year had his ups and downs. But I think he's going to be a good player for them this year. I think they're a veteran team. I like Rhett Lashley. I think he's a good coach. And quite frankly, Florida State just didn't look good last week. You know, Mike Norvell might be the most pre-fired coach in college football right now.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants him out of the job before the season has really even started and they're undefeated. But yeah, that one's interesting. Ole Miss Louisville is by far the game I'm most excited for, partially because I'll be there, but there's so many players on both sides of the ball that are considered playmakers. Like you've got Trinidad Chambliss, of course, who's a Heisman candidate, Kewan Lacy. But on the other side, you've got Isaac Brown for Louisville, who's a great running back. I can't believe I'm praising Louisville, but here we are. But I think overall, it's just going to be high velocity, high intensity. I could see it getting pretty high scoring, to be honest with you. I'm glad that that game is here. I'm not a huge neutral site guy, but selfishly, I'm glad that it's local and I could go watch that. But yeah, it's two teams that I think are not talked about as much as contenders, but I do think they're both capable of competing inside their respective conferences. So I'm really excited for that one.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is next. 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.